The Washington Post on October 29th named Representative John Faso as one of seven Republican House candidates who voted for the American Health Care Act, the Republican bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Health Care Act, that are now twisting an unrelated fact check and misleading voters. Quote, in a September 24th news release, the Faso campaign displayed four Pinocchios about the claim that Faso voted to take health care away from constituents with pre-existing conditions. Rating false, a Washington Post fact-checker analysis gave this claim four Pinocchios, unquote, the Washington Post wrote. But Faso did vote to take away pre-existing conditions, so he is the one making the false claim here. Faso's campaign, according to the Washington Post, is referring to a fact check that, quote, A, focused on how many people had pre-existing conditions, not whether the bill harmed them, and B, was published before the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office issued a critical report about the possible impact on people with pre-existing conditions if the bill they supported had become law, unquote. Meanwhile, Faso's Democratic opponent Antonio Delgado released a statement on Twitter after 11 people were killed at a Pittsburgh synagogue October 27th. Quote, absolutely heartbroken over the deadly shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. We are praying for the victims, their families, and the entire Jewish community faced with such a tragic loss of life, unquote, Delgado wrote hours after the massacre. Faso did not release any statements on Twitter or on his House website or campaign website about the incident. On October 28th, the Albany Times Union endorsed Delgado over Faso in the November 6th election. Quote, 2 years ago, we endorsed Republican Representative John Faso in the hope that he would be a moderating voice in a House majority that was veering increasingly to the far right. Sadly, whatever common sense Mr. Faso might have brought to his party was to no avail, and some of Mr. Faso's own actions have been disappointing. Delgado talks about the kinds of ideas Congress ought to be working on, a public option on health coverage, replacing the 2017 tax cuts with a more modest bill focusing on the middle class and incentives for job growth, restoring regulations on banks to guard against the kinds of misbehavior that led to the 2008 recession, and strengthening gun control through measures like universal background checks, unquote, the Times Union wrote in its endorsement. In 2016, the paper endorsed Faso over Democrat Zephyr Teachout. On October 25th, Faso released another new ad, this one criticizing Delgado's position on the Iran nuclear deal.
The Iran nuclear deal, dangerous, but my opponent calls it an important diplomatic achievement. The deal lifted sanctions, allowed Iran to continue enriching uranium, barred inspections of their nuclear sites, and gave them access to $100 billion in frozen assets. Even John Kerry admitted money would flow to terrorist groups. That's not an achievement. That's dangerous. I'm John Faso, and I approve this message because the deal was good for Iran, bad for America, and it's dangerous if you don't know the difference.
On October 26th, Delgado released his own new ad. It was called Because New York 19.
I'm Antonio Delgado, and I approve this message because it's about time we have affordable health care.
John Faso voted with his party to make health care more expensive. Washington Republicans would take away protections for pre-existing conditions. Did you know that John Faso was the deciding vote? The Washington Republican plan would pave the way for an age tax on seniors.
We can do better. It is time that we had affordable and accessible health care for everybody.
And on October 29th, Faso and Delgado met for their fourth and final debate before the election. The Times Herald Record hosted it, and here is an excerpt.
Congressman, everyone has seen the ad with you hugging Andrea Mitchell, the mother of two with a brain tumor. You promised not to take her health insurance, but you did vote to advance the American Health Care Act, a Republican repeal and replace health care bill that could have removed protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions. So my question is, did you break your promise by voting for the Republican replacement bill?
No, I didn't break my promise in the least. And the fact is, this is personal to me and my wife. My wife had a serious operation for cancer when she was 39 years old, had a long recovery and follow-up treatments. We fully understand the need to protect people with pre-existing conditions. The legislation I voted for would have done just that. The example that is used of the young woman who was in a rally on my front lawn back in January of 2017 is interesting also because she, for instance, is on Medicaid, where even if you do not believe that our legislation protected people with pre-existing conditions, if you're on Medicaid, this issue, your health status does not matter. Your only qualification is your income, not your health status. Now, the argument is that the so-called MacArthur Amendment in the bill that I voted for, which was not part of the legislation when it was the so-called deciding vote coming out of the budget committee. That's complete falsehood, and your headline was actually false in that regard. The MacArthur Amendment was added late in the process. This would affect potentially 7% of people in the individual insurance market, not Medicare, Medicaid, not the employer-provided or union-provided health care, but only the individual insurance market if someone did not maintain continuous coverage. But because of my knowledge of New York law, I also knew that that amendment and that limited state waiver process would not have applied in New York State. So the argument from my friend over here is that somehow I went back on my promise because of the MacArthur Amendment. And the fact is, the MacArthur Amendment wouldn't have applied in New York State, and frankly, I doubt very many governors would have sought the limited state waiver anyway. So the argument about pre-existing conditions, I fully favor protections for people with pre-existing conditions, and I've now supported a bipartisan approach to try to rectify the problems with the ACA. Premiums and deductibles are way too high. If you have an $8,000 deductible under the ACA, it's unaffordable for most people.
Thank you. Mr. Delgado?
Yeah, that just wasn't an honest answer. The congressman has repeatedly said, he just literally said with Benita Zahn, when she asked him about this very ad and the promise he made, he said, I voted to protect pre-existing conditions for everyone. Those were his words, everyone. And then he just sits up here and tells us that he didn't. That in effect, there are some group of people out there that would not have these protections. So which one is it? Either you voted to protect, guarantee protections for everyone, or you didn't. And you just have to own up to that fact. The same way you have to own up to the fact that a woman came in front of your home with a spinal condition and a brain tumor, who said, please, do not take away my health care, and you felt it was okay to promise her three times. I promise, I promise, I promise, and hug her. And the bill you voted for would have rolled back Medicaid expansion and put in a precarious state Medicaid enrollment, which would have affected whether or not she would have been able to stay on enrollment. And you put her at risk. And that was a promise that was, in fact, broken.
Yeah. Congressman?
Well, the gentleman just simply, maybe it's because he just arrived, but he doesn't understand New York law. I promised my constituents that nothing I would vote for would affect their ability to secure health coverage for the pre-existing condition. And that's exactly what I did. The gentleman also has attacked me for a so-called age tax, which also has been debunked thoroughly, doesn't even apply in New York State and because of state law. And I understand that. So these false attacks continue. And look, when Nancy Pelosi is desperate to become speaker, and Nancy Pelosi is desperate to become speaker, and so that's why they are pouring over $10 million into this district in negative ads against me, which falsely represent my position. As I've said, our legislation would have protected everyone in our district, in our state, with a pre-existing condition, and I doubt that the limited state waivers would have been applied for. And even if they would have in those states, there were provisions added to the legislation which would have meant that no one with a pre-existing condition would have paid more for their health care. So the gentleman just doesn't understand it. And unfortunately, he because of his ambition, he's so anxious to be elected that he'll say anything to get elected.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands and that they heard all of the qualifiers now that we're hearing in his answer that were not there previously. Living in the state, you know, have to be here to, I assume that other folks won't waive it. None of these qualifiers were in the original answer. In the original answer, it's an absolute definitive, my vote would not have gutted pre-existing conditions for anybody. You say that kind of statement, you better stand by it.